the information of those present, the washroom is just outside the door and directly to your left. We have regrets this morning from Councilor News, who's unable to attend. I have one change under 2.0, change of approval of agenda. We have a report on the agenda 14.3, Charter Speak Advisory Committee, Councilor News. He has requested that that be deferred to the next meeting, July the 9th. He's unable to present that today. Are there any other changes to the agenda today? Councilor Fancy?
Yes, I'd like to add a discussion on the odor in the Crystal Avenue area.
We would add that under 14.5 under reports today?
Yes.
Any other changes? A motion to approve the agenda as amended would be in order. Moved by Councilor McLeod, seconded by Deputy Mayor Kelly. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Yes, thank you. Under 3.0 presentations, under 3.1, Senior Safety Coordinator, we're pleased to have Shelley Walker here this morning to do a presentation. Shelley, if you'd like to come forward to the presentation desk.
I'd like to thank you for inviting me here this morning. As mentioned, I'm the new Senior Safety Coordinator for Queens County, just starting the position May 1st. I am presently located at the RCMP detachment on 20 Shore Road, and I am based there on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 8:30 until 4:30, and I can be reached at the office through the RCMP number, and also I have a cell phone number, and I'm going to give you the leave the brochures here today with all my information on it for contacting me. Our program provides and promotes information to enhance personal safety and home security. It increases awareness and reduces victimization of seniors targeted by consumer frauds, scams, and identity theft. Just in the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks that I've been here, there's a tremendous need for educating our seniors. With the home visits and whatnot that I have attended so far, I am totally amazed at what our seniors are living in as far as housing, how they choose to eat, the way they're living. The elder abuse in Queens County is crazy. It's very sad when you go into some of these homes and you see what's going on with these seniors and the people that are living with them. A lot of them have their senior children living with them as well, and they don't even realize they're being abused by them until you start talking to them and asking them questions and whatnot. There's a great need to educate our seniors, and with the amount of seniors in Queens County, I'd like to just say that 3 days a week in my position is not nearly enough time to do what needs to be done out there. It certainly needs to be, I need more time in order to do what I need to do and feel that I've done well for our seniors. Our program offers different programs to seniors, but a lot of them that I've talked to say they don't know about any of this. And that's another thing, is getting out there in the public and letting them know what we can do for them. We provide wellness checks. I go into the hospital. I go into their homes. I do a lot of phone calls. I receive a lot of phone calls from seniors. We do the Vial of Life program. I'm not sure if anyone knows what that is, but I can explain it later if you'd like. We do senior safety academies, living alone programs, senior friendly programs, driving programs as we age, safety presentations such as crime prevention, household security, the frauds and scams, personal safety and elder abuse. And these programs are available to any community groups that are out there or anybody who wants us to present these topics to them. The program's based on seniors 60 and above, but if there's seniors out there that are 58 or 56 presenting as a senior, we're certainly not going to turn them away. and our program is free. As the coordinator, I work closely with the Queens County Senior Safety Association, the Department of Seniors, the community policing officer, who is Constable Duffney, as well as the local RCMP, the Region of Queens, and the Community Health Board. Most of my referrals so far have come in from the RCMP, concerned community members, family, friends, other care providers. Community health is a big one, and even self-referrals. I've had people call me themselves. Our seniors are an essential part of our community, and they are entitled to live with dignity and security, as well as live free from exploitation and mistreatment and abuse, and I think that's really important here in Queens County to get that message out there. Is there anybody who has any questions that I can answer about the program, or?
Any councilor have a question at this point? Councilor McLeod?
Thank you, Shelley, for your introduction into your role as senior safety officer. When you're out there visiting the homes and you understand the situations that our residents are living in, or situations beyond their control, are there any barriers within the regulations of anything that you find? Like, for example, do you have any restrictions of what you can do in a home for, say, protection or that sort of thing? Do you have any barriers that maybe we could address from a regulation point of view for other departments that might be affected?
I'm sure there probably is. So far, the home visits that I've done, I've been accompanied by other people. For instance, there's an ongoing one that I can think of that the RCMP have to go with me every time I go. Sometimes I'm restricted in the way that certain things are specific to certain RCMP members. Without getting into too much detail, an example would be if I go into a home, an adult child is there, they are known, like, for drugs, for instance. I need a certain member to go with me, and because I'm only there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, he may only be working on Friday, and so then I have to wait maybe another week before I can go into that home to go with that person to be safe. I have a hard time with that, because are we really looking after our senior if we're going to leave them in that home with that child that has that addiction or what have you? But I don't have I can't take them out. Now, adult protection can take them out, but there's a lot of work to do to lead up to getting them out of the home.
So you feel that should be addressed at some point?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for everybody's protection.
Absolutely.
And for getting the care that is really needed. I mean, you can visit these houses, the homes,
yeah,
and you see what's happening, but a lot of that's beyond your control.
Absolutely.
So I think as council and you being part of our community and the aspect that you are, maybe we should discuss that with the powers that be that can actually address that.
That's right. Yeah.
Councilor Fisk?
Shelley, first of all, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And totally impressed with your presentation.
Thank you.
I understand you only have the 3 days. Just keep plugging in there. Keep repeating that, and maybe someday the government will listen.
Sure.
And I hope for you, Dan, nothing but the best in the future on this. And again, totally impressed with your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other councilor have a question? Councilor Fancy?
Yes, Shelley. One thing you brought up right away is it's a couple different things, actually. You're saying is communication is a lot of things are out in the internet there for them to get, but they don't get it, right? So the communication factor, and a lot of them over 60, if you weren't in the workforce at the time of the transition of everything going over the computer, there's people usually just say, I just want to do a limited thing. I want to go out and get my email, get off, and I don't want to touch anything, scared to death of everything. Well, if we're in a day and age, you know, our emails we get all the time. If you open them up, people are scared. There's a fear factor with a lot of older people.
Mm-hmm.
With just living there, wondering, you know, what's going to happen, that you can't protect yourself as you once were, and so there's a fear factor along with the communication, which is, it's a barrier to break through. What do you see as the best way of us trying to reach them? I mean, can we reach them to, like so when you talked about somebody who maybe had drugs and was in a home with, is the extended family to be able to get involved with, or how do you see, I'm saying too much.
Yeah, sometimes there's extended family that you can deal with, but other times the only family is that person who's causing the problems. There's also extended family that just don't care. And that's what I find a lot of is, you know, I've contacted, you know, the brother or the sister or somebody to try and, you know, get the family talking. And some of them, once they move away, they just lose contact. I mean, there's some people that I talked to, a lady the other day, hasn't seen her children in 5 years. And, you know, I asked, was there a problem, you know, that brought that? And she goes, no, they just never did care. They never will. And that's really sad to, you know, to hear from somebody. But isolation is a big thing with a lot of these people too. And for instance, I've been out to North Queens quite a few times already. And some of the situations out there are you know, pretty poor. One lady, she had seen my vehicle go by actually and took the number off the side of my car. And she called me, and I spent 45 minutes on the phone with that lady. The first of conversation was, I need you to talk to me. Okay, you tell me what you want to talk about. For that 45 minutes, she cried, she laughed, she screamed at me. she calmed down. She wasn't screaming necessarily at me, but she was screaming on the phone. Again, went through the whole cycle of crying and whatnot. And when we finished, she said, thank you so much. I just needed somebody to talk to because I have nowhere to go. I have no family. I have nothing. And there's got to be a way to get to those people to let them know there is somebody out there that can help them. But I'm not sure yet how to go about that.
And that all goes back to communications.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be nice if you were more than one person around knocking everybody's door.
I'd love to be able to go knock on everybody's door if I had time.
But you just don't have it, so.
No, now Saturday was great. I had brochures done up, and we were handing them out on the parade route, trying to eye senior people, and passing them out so that they at least know that we exist. So I'm hoping from that we'll get a lot more phone calls.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Councillor Johnson.
Shelley, great job. And being new in the job, I know it's kind of like a bit overwhelming and stuff like that. But
sure.
I think it's like a chicken and egg thing for sure. Like a lot of times we get the reports from Staff Sergeant Archibald, and part of it is your report, and it says so many files open, but I don't think that speaks to it at all. Because you could have one file open that could take you 2 or 3 days, and another file could take you 2 or 3 minutes. But it's trying to get, from our perspective and what we can do to help, to try and get you the amount of hours that it's going to take, because you can get all the referrals you want if you don't have the hours and the days of the week to be able to do this. You know, and building those partnerships with the, you know, Queens Home Support and those folks, and with the North Queens Medical Center, if we can get you in there and have a location there, that's only going to generate more work.
Mm-hmm.
The more the education gets out there, and the education component is a huge piece that we miss on how many presentations, the Seniors Expo that's coming up this fall and stuff. So anything that we can do to help promote that and try to break that endless cycle of more referrals, not enough time, and interpreting the reports that we get here, I think that's a big piece that has been missed in the past, and understanding just exactly that it isn't the number of files, it's the amount of time you have to spend to do quality work.
I'd like to have some sort of an office in North Queens. A lot of my referrals are from North Queens. I'd probably be safe to say 50%. And I think it would be good if I could get a space out there one day a week. Working 3 days a week, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to try. And let the people come to me. Some of them are intimidated by me going to their home. I went to someone's home the other day, and they were very standoffish. They opened the door this far, and they were not going to let me in. But by the time I finished talking to them, I was sitting at their kitchen table having a great chat with them. So it did work out, but there's going to be some of those that aren't going to want me in their home. And especially when the RCMP come with me, for whatever reason, they're certainly not going to want us coming in. So if I could find a space out there, like the medical center perhaps, where one day a week or once every 2 weeks, whatever, I could go out and be there so that they could just come to me and talk about whatever they need, whatever their needs are.
Well, it's a good partnership too with the medical center, because people are familiar with that because they come there for blood work, especially mm-hmm. the seniors. And now that we have Queens County Transit there, they have a way of being able to coordinate that. So
and I think too,
we'll make that work for sure.
Yeah, that initial, once they see who I am and you know they trust me, then I think I can get into the home and make it more personable. But I think at first it's a matter of them knowing who I am and getting that trust factor.
Thanks, Shelley.
You're welcome.
Councilor Fisk?
Just one more quick question. So if that does happen in North Queens, would you set up schedules where appointments?
Whatever would work.
Or would you rely on them know you're there?
At first, I think I would let them just come to me, just so that they can get to know who I am, and then at some point get to the point of having appointments set so that they can have private time, or that's where I would go into their home, set up a time to be there.
Councilor Fancy?
Again, too, Shelley, I know we could talk on this all day, you know, but there's a big fear factor, too, with seniors. They're afraid you're going to take them out of the home.
Yes.
So anytime you talk to them, they might give you something that would say that they might have to, and they're not going to come to the RCMP office to see you there.
No.
There's a lot of fear with seniors. We have that fear with seniors with renting. They will not say anything about their place where they rent because they might lose their spot, you know, or yeah. something like that. They might end up going into a home. So the fear factor as you get older with a lot of things. And so to get past that, you can be able to talk to them, realizing that they're not going to be taken out of their home just because of this or that. But they don't want to discuss that because it may end up, and most of them want to live in their home.
Oh, most, there's yeah. a lot that do, yeah.
yeah. Some yeah. shouldn't be.
And when you talk about fear, there's that fear I find with being at the RCMP detachment. They can't really come in and talk to me. Because they have, a lot of people have the fear of the RCMP. They are normal everyday people, but to them, you know, that authority is made, you know, a big thing to them. We are talking, my board is talking with some other people to try and get me some office space downtown that more people could come in off the street as well. And whether it's so many hours at one place and so many hours at the other, that's all being, you know, has to be determined yet, but it will be nice to have a spot that they can actually come in and sit down and talk and not have to worry about coming there or calling or, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
Councilor McLeod?
Mayor Dagley, is it possible for us to put some type of article column in our next newsletter going out? It goes out to all the post office boxes in Queens. Just an information about Shelley's the program and Shelley's introduction and how important it is to get in touch with her if there are any problems in any area.
I would think that would be a good article for the newsletter. Brief, but a good article.
When is the next newsletter going out?
It'll be late fall.
Prior to Christmas.
Prior to Christmas.
No, that's twice a year.
Twice a year. It's not quarterly anymore. Maybe we could do something else at some point between now and then.
We can certainly add it to our Facebook page.
But there's a lot of people that don't have that, so maybe we could do something. Think about it anyway, and maybe we could put it in the publication.
And that's a big.
That's
thank
big
you.
Thing.
That's a big thing. My in-laws have no idea what a computer is, have no idea what a cell phone is, mm-hmm. and they're not willing to learn. Mm-hmm. And they are certainly not the only people in Queens
right.
County
mm-hmm.
in that predicament.
The people that you visit, Shelley, do they get their mail? Do you know if they get these communications in their home? I mean,
lot of them, no.
No?
No.
They don't have any communication at all? I mean, they must...
Not, just thinking about the last 2 weeks of people that I've been to, they have no idea about computers, how to use them or anything.
But do they get mail?
They get mail, regular
mail.
Yeah, they do get mail.
Yeah. And there's the flyers that go out every week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's possible to put something, a lot of, they may open those, I don't know, but that's a really inexpensive way of getting a message out. Maybe we should take this as a priority to try to find a way to get that message out,
yeah,
so that they're actually in their hands.
Yeah.
Any other counselor have a comment or question on presentation? Michelle? Well, thank you very much, Shelley.
Thank you.
It's a very interesting presentation. I'm pleased that you came today to discuss senior safety coordinator.
Thank you.
Moving on next to 4.0, tabling of petitions. We have no petitions to table today. Are there any petitions to bring forward today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. Hearing none, we have no petitions today. 5.0, public question comment session. This is an opportunity for members of the gallery to ask questions, make a comment. Please state your name and your address and limit your comments to 5 minutes or less, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Sean Robertson, College Street, Liverpool. It's been added to the agenda now. I see the odor Bristol area. I just want to bring that up here. I know it's been indicated by some that the smell could be, must be coming from the swampy area or whatever, but I've been around swamps for quite a while, and I think the smell that's coming from there is a sewage smell. And when we're over there going to Sobeys or a superstore or wherever, shopping, at some days it's hard to stomach. You go in there to buy food and you get that smell. Anyway, Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure what it is, whether it has to do with the sewer treatment plant or it has to do with the area. I'm not sure, but I guess it'll get a full discussion in the 14.5. I'm hoping to be able to stay there. The other item, I mentioned it the last meeting there, the new lines that were put there on the Waypoint Road by the Hanks Variety. I understand, is there going to be any changes to those?
It's my understanding that once they wear a little bit this summer, that it will be reconfigured somewhat to make it a more friendly intersection. It was realigned to provide a 90-degree intersection on the corner, which is problematic for those that are used to going straight through at a good speed.
So you don't have an access to just such as Mr. Coastal. And the other item, Mr. Mayor, we had a good weekend. The weather didn't cooperate 100%, but the issue that most of the activities used for privateer days. And I was just wondering, is there any plan for a Canada Day celebration on this undergrund?
There are some Canada Day celebration activities planned in both Liverpool and Caledonia on July 1st. And that information will, I'm sure, be coming out more fully during this week.
How will that be provided to people? Not everybody is indicated to have the period and so on.
Well, that's a good question. We'll certainly have to have a chat with staff to see how that's being placed. It
would be a good idea to be able to get it out to most people. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
David Huston, 160 Church Street. Talking about the odor, it was quite strong on Church Street last night. I don't know why it would be there, but it was quite a strong odor.
It would be relative to the direction of the wind as to where it would come.
And one other concern that I have, I've been looking through a lot of the bylaws for Queens, Liverpool, is window parking. I don't see where there's anything on when it comes to a storm that you have to be off of the street.
And that's a good question. I don't have an answer that I can give you today. It becomes an issue, of course, if there are vehicles on the roads when they're flat for snow. That is something I would need to check with the bylaw officer to determine. I wouldn't want to mislead you.
No. Thank you, Mayor.
Any other member of the gallery?
Bill Cox, 121 Bob Road. I've had a couple of bad experiences at the intersection of Bazant Street and Waterloo Street. People don't know where to go. People going to Wyoming Street, suddenly say, I can't go straight ahead, I've got to go around that white line. And if people are coming down Wyoming Street, they're all right if they're turning to go towards town, but if they're turning to come up the Oak Point Road, then they figure they should be in that lane, not in the other lane. So when they're in that lane, people who are trying to get into that stall with the white line, the two cars can't fit into that same space. So I'm hoping that something can be done long before that white line fades out, even if we've got to put some kind of a camouflage or something over that line, because we're getting into our tourist season, and the local people are confused, I'm sure the people from the town are going to be eating also cheese, and the last thing they need to do is to ruin their vacation by being involved in the collision. Also, I would like to put a shout out to the organizers of Privateer Days that had a very rough weekend weather-wise, but they were able to maneuver things around and put on a good show. We're talking to people from out of town who were very impressed with the parade and the musical entertainment and this sort of thing, and they were particularly impressed with the music on Sunday. I wasn't around much on Saturday because I was running out of breath, running for cover from the rain, but certainly everybody thought that once the old committee stepped aside, that the new people wouldn't be able to pull off the show, but I understand that Councilor Frolicker still has an advisory capacity as far as helping out the new group, and in any case, they deserve all kinds of accolades for pulling off that show that we had on the weekend, and certainly people from out of town came in and are impressed that this is possible in the small community. But I don't have any questions at the moment, just comments. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. Any other member of the gallery who would like to speak today?
Good morning, Dan. My name is Mary Cooley. I live on 277 Main Street. And I also like to make a comment on the smell in Liverpool and the surrounding areas. Apparently, it's getting quite strong. And I don't know how long you want to be going about this, but we'll talk later. Do some investigation. We know it's coming from the swamp. Here, that's been determined. And apparently, nothing can be done unless an application is made to the time of the garden. We're talking to people at 4 Point. They said they can't even set outdoors and open a window with that snow. And that smell is traveling probably for them, but it hasn't dissipated yet, so I'm going to make sure the smell is getting to be quite widespread, so I mean, something has to be under the smell. You can't be let go. And to say we can is giving up already.
Well, I agree. The smell is not good, and it certainly is dependent upon the wind as to which direction it may travel. The swamp, to our understanding, has been a regular occurrence for a very brief period of time in spring. This has been a very difficult spring with extended wet weather. How much that's impacted the situation, I'm not aware, but certainly it requires permits. It requires additional effort to work anywhere near a swamp, and it is very problematic. It's something that we will discuss later in the morning. It's been added to the agenda. Do you have anything additional you wanted to add at this point, Mark?
Well, apparently some people feel that this is new. This is common, right? But you're talking to people, it's not new. It's not common. The people down the fort have never smelled it before. I happen to come to Liverpool fairly often. I live here. And I've never smelled it until about a month ago. It's a new smell. And it's quite strong. And we don't want Liverpool to be known as that pool. It's a Liverpool. It's a good smell, though.
Yeah, understood. Thank you. So thank you to the public gallery for your comments this morning. Counselor Fancy?
Yeah.
If you're wishing to comment on this, you can.
No, with the roadway, I just wanted to say that I walk along there too, and people are confused. I've tried to walk around with the lines there, and people drive straight through. It's a danger for people, not these cars.
I thank you for that, but we don't have the discussion on the public comment, because it's on the agenda, so we'll save that for another discussion.
Okay.
Having said that, we have completed section 5, public question comment session. Section 6, approval of minutes. Are there any errors or omissions in the minutes as were circulated for the regular council meeting June 11th? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes as circulated would be in order. Councilor Fisk, moved by and seconded by Councilor McLeod. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises, we have nothing today. Under 8.0, economic development, we have nothing today. 9.0, corporate services, we have nothing today. Engineering and works, under 10.0, we have nothing today. 11.0, finance. Under 11.1, we have RFP legal services closing March 21st. I would ask our Director of Finance, Jennifer Keating-Hubley, to come forward. Who would like to take the lead on the recommendation on 11.1? Councilor Johnson?
Okay. I'd like to recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality award Brickwire Home the services associated with tax sale proceedings. Title searches, tax deed preparation, attendance at tax sales, and certificate of sales, and that the services associated with court appearances respecting summary offense tickets and parking violations, and land transactions, purchase and sale agreements, leases, land registry filings, and development agreements be awarded to Fulk Law.
Second to that motion, Councilor Fisk. Jennifer, would you like to give us a brief update on this one?
So we've been using J.C. Reddy's office for the past couple of years, and up till the year before last, it would have been a professional services amount that actually fell under the threshold for procurement. But where we've ramped up our tax sales in the last couple of years, that amount has grown substantially. So we have a great working relationship with him, and I know my staff would prefer to stay with him, but given the extreme discounts, especially on the deed transfer tax, certificates of sale that Brickwire Home are offering in this proposal, we would really be remiss if we weren't to pass that along to residents. I mean, those are amounts that are recoupable. When you purchase at a tax sale, you pay those amounts. The Region of Queens doesn't pay those amounts. But again, where we are trying to promote and move these past due accounts, and we have increased the size of our tax sales, that's a substantial savings that we'd like to pass along to the purchasers and the residents of Queens County who are purchasing at our tax sales.
Any questions or comments of councilors on this issue? Councilor McLeod?
Jennifer, I noticed that Brickwire's cost compared to Powery, Ready, and Mayhew's, some are higher, but I think from the public perspective, we deal much more with deed preparation and tax deeds transfers than we do anything else in this list.
The other things would be more of a one of or a couple of for sale, whereas those deed transfers, certificate of sales, could be multiples during a tax sale. Yeah. So
if you could get that word out, you know, if there's any explanation when we report this, that should be emphasized, because if they see other ones are a lot lower, they may not understand that these are the primary tax deeds and deed preparation.
Our last couple of tax sales have been 35 properties.
Yeah.
If each of those sold, they would each incur that cost per sale. So. Yeah.
Any other councilor have a question or comment? I'm ready for the question.
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. Under 12.0, Recreation and Community Facilities, we have 12.1, appointment to Queens Vice Mayor Center Board of Directors. We did advertise for two vacant positions on the board of directors. We have two members of the public who have indicated an interest to be on the board. We also have a appointee being a counselor. We have Counselor McLeod and Counselor Kiss, who have both indicated that they would like to be on the board. We have one position. So I would confirm, Counselor McLeod, you're interested in being on the board?
Yes.
And Counselor Kiss, you're interested in being on the board?
Yes.
Yeah, so at this point, I would ask Christine if she has ballots. She'll pass out 8 ballots. Please just mark the last name of the counselor. Counselor Johnson?
What about my existing position on the board?
That's not up to for renewal at this point. I do not believe it is.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So we're just voting on these two.
Just on that one position.
I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're staggered dates.
Yeah, no, I knew that. I thought that we're going to overwhelm the board.
We only have no council.
Must have a council.
We would provide continuity until your assignment has been. Then if everyone has completed, why don't Christine, you may come up. Two members from the public that have indicated an interest to be on the board are Sylvia Hurley and Hubert Rodden, and they're the only two we received, and we have two vacancies, so we would recommend those two plus the counselor that is selected through the vote. Have the results. We have Counselor Fist was a successful counselor in that vote. So the recommendation for 12.1 will become appointing Sylvia Hurley, Hubert Rodden, and Counselor Fist. So who would like to read that recommendation? Move. Really?
I so move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality appoint Councilor Raymond Fisk,
Hubert Rodden,
and Sylvia Hurley to Queens Place of Merit Center Board of Directors for a 2-year term beginning July 1st, 2019.
Seconded for that? Councilor Johnson? Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Those opposed? It is passed 6-1. Thank you. Moving on to 13.0 planning. I would ask Director of Planning Mike McLeod to come forward. Under 13.1, we have rezoning for number 3 White Point Road in Liverpool from restricted residential R1, neighborhood commercial C3, and then the recommendation. Christine is passing the documentation. Would like to take the lead on 13-1. Deputy Mayor Kelly?
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give second reading to a bylaw respecting the rezoning of PID number 700-20482 from restricted residential R1 to neighborhood commercial C3.
Seconded that motion. Councilor Frehley? Mike, if you'd like to give us a very brief update, including any written documentation you need that we've previously.
Yep, I guess just as further to the public hearing this morning, we received an application for the rezoning of property at 3 White Point Road in Liverpool from the restricted residential R1 zone to the neighborhood commercial C3 zone to accommodate an art studio, which is proposed for that location. Municipal planning strategy does allow council to consider such rezonings from residential designations to the neighborhood commercial C3 through the rezoning process. The planning strategy also outlines a number of considerations the council would look at in determining to move forward with the rezoning, which are included in the discussion paper. So, Planning Advisory Committee has reviewed the application and has recommended in favor of the rezoning.
Any comments or questions of councillors on this issue? Everybody for the question?
I think it's really great that this young person has come forward and purchased the property and decided to turn an almost unsightly situation into something that's going to be proud of. Liz is a wonderful artist, and she certainly has the capability of fulfilling her goals of what she wants to do with this. And it's great that we are able to support her. She'll bring a lot of people to our community as well.
Good. Any other councilor? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you very much. And moving on to 13.2, solid waste management bylaw amendment, second reading. We would like to take the lead on this. Councilor Frehley.
I so move the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality get second reading to bylaw number 13, solid waste management bylaw.
Seconded to that? Councilor Fisk.
Yeah, just a little bit of background. Illegal dumping has been and continues to be an issue here in Queens County, as it is in other areas. Last summer, staff had initiated the process to reevaluate the fine levels which would be levied for illegal dumping. Currently, under policy, that there's a first offense, a second offense, and a third offense for those caught illegally dumping. It was suggested at that time to become more stringent with violators of this aspect of the solid waste management bylaw, that we increase that to one fine level, being the highest of the current fines levied for this offense at $697.50. At the time, council passed a resolution to recommend the Department of Justice increase the fine levels. However, subsequent to that, we were advised that it was a little more complicated than simply a motion of council, that we actually needed to amend our solid waste management bylaw, which then would lead to the province changing the summary offense ticket regulations, which sets out the fine levels. So since that time, we've been working with Municipal Affairs, Department of Justice, and our own solicitor to draft the appropriate amendments to the solid waste management bylaw to affect the increased fine levels. So we've got a copy of the draft solid waste management bylaw with the amendments highlighted. But as we were going through this process, we've also worked with our engineering works department to make any other changes to policies and procedures that they go through in the administration of that bylaw as well, and to affect the current state. So there's several other amendments that are indicated in the bylaw as well to show current procedures for the Works Department as they carry out their duties as well. So so the draft bylaw has indicated the suggested changes that will affect, I guess, first and foremost, the increase in fine levels for illegal dumping, as well as additional amendments.
Thank you, Mike. Any councillor have a question or comment on this item? Councillor Casey?
So now it will be $697.50 for first offense rather than third offense.
That's right.
That
yeah.
is what we're looking at. If we looked at before and looking at how much it was for littering compared to illegal dumping, and the numbers didn't add up.
That's right. I think the minimum fine level for littering is like $400 or something like that. So this is certainly a more significant offense, and it's more aptly reflective of a higher fine level. So, it's due. Now, the number of repeat offenders is, there's probably very few that we get to get a repeat offender, but I think hopefully the increased fine levels will stem those for making that first offense in illegal dumping. So we're hoping to see improvements.
The one thing that we're seeing in particular at the gray boxes and things of people who are think they can just dump whatever they want to dump there is and it's a pretty big sign that we've had people who even come forward and mentioned it, but then it's hard to get from that point of saying it to going forward. So people are not coming forward, and people are upset, but they're not coming forward. And so we get people that want to come forward, the RCMP and even our people can't be around to do that. We need people.
Well, and that's really the challenge, is that unless you have somebody coming forward, or there's some identifiable evidence that says such and such a person deposited illegally there, it's challenged too, because you're in a court situation. You have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that okay, this person was the person that illegally dumped. So it's challenging.
Councillor Johnson.
Do gray boxes fall under the illegal dumping, or is it just, because to me, the guy that goes out and dumps the deep freeze and the TVs in the woods is a whole lot worse than somebody who puts a TV and a deep freeze at a gray box?
And I think the gray boxes are a separate section of the solid waste management bylaw. It's because those are designated facilities for disposal of, but it's more the illegal dump sites on private property or wherever, that out in the middle of the woods or things like that. So
should we find somebody who's obviously fraudulent and doing that, it's $697.
That's correct.
Okay. Fair point.
Yep.
Councillor Fisk?
Mike, just if somebody dumped a load of lumber at the gray box on the inside and they were caught dumping that, what procedures happens?
Well, I guess we would issue an SOT for the appropriate section of the solid waste management bylaw. But really, it's, you need somebody to witness that. I guess things like lumber, where there's not identifiable information there, unless you have somebody willing to come forward, we can issue an summary offense ticket. But if they oppose the ticket and it goes to court, you're challenged to get a successful prosecution if you don't have that person to come forward and say, I witnessed that dumping. So.
Thank you.
Any other councillor have a comment or a question on this item? Councillor Pratt?
On the bylaw, there's nothing there that tells the public that we are monitoring it. We often talk about putting cameras at these gray boxes. In the bylaw, should there be something that says that, you know, we've got to address that situation. Every year we discuss this, year after year after year. How are we going to identify who those people are that we're dumping? I mean, we have, that might be another discussion at a later date, but I think we constantly, we are bombarded with people dumping products and items that should not be there, and just leaving a mess that we are left to clean up. And it's unsightly to anybody that wants to go back to, you know, on those routes back to the cottage, and actually on highways, on the road, on secondary roads.
And certainly, I think as far as education, I don't think we can put any more signage that clearly indicates what they're doing is illegal. And that's right. So
we should go another step later.
And we've tried cameras, and they haven't been successful in the past. And so, but it's something we can, I think we need to continue to look at, because it continues to be a problem. No question.
Any other counselor? Comment or question? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Under 14.0 reports, we have 14.1, Council Implementation Report. That was circulated to councilors. If you have any questions or comments on that report, I'll circulate. Questions or comments on that implementation report? Hearing none, I'm going to move on. 14.2, FCM report. Deputy Mayor Kelly and Council Frehley. Would you like to go first, Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Sure, thanks. Well, you know, it's the end of May, beginning of June. Councilor Frohlich and I attended our first FCM, which is the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. It was being held in Quebec City this year. And just to start off sort of with a little bit of background, the FCM's main purpose is its AGM to select new officers and a new chair. And there are 75 board members on the FCM board. There's also the regional caucuses also meet, and both myself and Councilor Frehley attended the Atlantic caucus, where the table of officers were voted in as previously, and Tom Taggart remains our caucus chair. The FCM represents more than 2,000 municipalities across Canada, and there were 2,087 delegates at FCM 2019, and then it's heard over and over again, this was the largest ever attendance at an FCM, but including all the companions and the vendors, there were 3,740 participants at this year's FCM, and it included 176 exhibits at a trade show, which is, it's a conference and trade show, so there was a huge trade show that went along with this. The other part of the FCM, which is great news, is that Bill Karsten is the next FCM president, representing the Atlantic region and coming in as an RHM counselor. So he's been on the board for some time, as I think you move through as the third, second, and first vice president, and then you move into, unless you're not, and it was by acclamation, because there was no one challenging him for the presidency of the FCM. So I think that it's nice to know that we know personally somebody from the Atlantic provinces or from Halifax that will be the next FCM president. So FCM takes credit for the federal gas tax implementation and the recent one-time doubling in the 2019 federal budget of the gas tax. Also the National Housing Strategy. FCM administers the $1 billion Municipal Green Fund, as well as FCM also administers many other programs that assist municipalities. And a huge advocate, one of the biggest groups that advocates to the federal government on behalf of its residents. So the same as we know for the Nova Scotia Federation of Municipalities, There were 7 resolutions passed at this FCM AGM, and just to give you an indication of where the thoughts are with Canadian municipalities, is the number one was expanding funding for airports, federal government strategy for gender-based violence, federal climate change investment in municipalities, improving broadband in rural municipalities, improve housing affordability, develop rural economic strategies, and zero emissions buses and fleet vehicles. So we're quite well represented here in Nova Scotia with those some of those resolutions. Other than the main AGM business, the conference was made up of the trade show, the plenary, study tours, workshops, and conference speakers. The 4 main party leaders spoke over 4 days. MP Bernadette Jordan spoke at the rural town hall called Driving Tomorrow's Growth, which I attended. She advised that the rural municipality strategy would be coming out on June 23rd. I did do a quick scan of the internet, and I haven't seen anything yet on that. The Liberals are promising to connect every household in the country to high-speed internet by 2030 through a $6 billion spending plan. I also attended Building Local Solutions to the Global Plastics Challenge. Cigarette butts, that's the next big plastics problem. There was about 4 speakers at this one as well, all talking in different ways, with talking about using plastic pipes instead of concrete pipes for sewer. And the guy from Vancouver, I think, was the most polarizing, talking about what they're trying to do in downtown Vancouver. And I also was very lucky to get one of their cups, which I used, and I can carry it in my purse, and I use it all the time for my refills now. But yeah, the cigarette butts, and I did manage to pass that on to Jack, the litter abatement group, to talk to the group about maybe a communications campaign about that. Let's see, what else? I also attended the study tour called Restoring Public Access for a Healthy and Active City. So the study tours were where you went out on the buses and they had different parts, and they're sort of showing what Quebec City is actually doing on a number of fronts and what sort of their vision is for the community on a municipal front, so that you can get an idea of what they're doing and how they're doing it. Restoring public access for a healthy and active city. So it's part of a $170 million redevelopment of the entire waterfront of Quebec City, because it's basically where was always railways and where they came in for the oil. Irving Oil had huge oil tanks there and whatnot, and they're moving all of that. They're actually moving the tracks to the other side so they can open up the whole waterfront, and they're really doing a lot of great work there. It was also interesting to see that they did a flood mitigation plan, which we've heard here in our flood mitigation plans, of how they developed the waterfront, knowing that it will flood. I think theirs was a 50-year event that it would most likely flood. So it's all parkland and trees and walkways and cement areas, so that if it does flood, it doesn't matter. It's not hurting, it's not destroying anything, so it was built on purpose that way. It was nice to see all of the, you can bike forever around the city through their bike lanes. And, you know, where there was once sort of warehouses and buildings and an industrial area is now open park space, and it was being widely used. Lots of soccer fields down on the waterfront and park area and things like that. So it was quite amazing to see what they were doing. I also attended a workshop on municipalities and the housing crisis. Unfortunately, the speaker presentations were all centered around big city homelessness. However, there are lots of great initiatives in BC improving the situations there, and also talks around social housing instead of housing projects. Lots of talk about the Sustainable Communities Conference in Newfoundland in October 2020, which someone pointed out at the same time as the Nova Scotia municipal election, so it kind of sucks that nobody from Nova Scotia will be able to attend unless they're not involved in the municipal elections next year. I also attended, oh, sorry, there, that's part, oh, yes, I, on the study tour that I did go on, I actually met a counselor from Ontario who's very interested in our conversation about our quality of life survey here in Nova Scotia. So we'll be in touch about that. Her and her family are coming here to Nova Scotia this summer, and she's going to contact me about a lot of the places to come and see on the South Shore. So that was kind of an interesting point. You know, we come from two different spectrums, because I think she represents municipality of Burlington, and I'm not sure if it's Burlington or a city very close there within that area of Ontario. They have the opposite challenge to us. They're trying to stop growth, because I think they're one of the fastest growing towns or areas in Canada actually right now. The main threads going through the whole conference were climate change, transit, housing, and broadband. A quote from Bill Carston in his closing speech to all party leaders, quote, "If you are serious about making Canadian lives better, then put out a bold strategy for putting the power into the hands of local government." So a lot of things we kept hearing over the whole conference as well was being reiterated many times, that the recent FCM survey indicated that Canadian residents trust local government the most. So it just really puts forward, you know, that I think that you kind of see the tides changing, that people do trust local government, and we are the ones that know what the residents want, and therefore they should be putting the funds for climate change, the funds for broadband into our hands to let us help our residents. So that was good to know. So I attended. It was very, very busy. It was so interesting. I met so many people. 10 plenaries I attended, 6 receptions, 4 political keynotes, 3 workshops, and 1 study tour. So it was very busy. And I got a big blister on my foot to prove how much walking I did. So yeah, it was very interesting. I encourage any of the counselors the opportunity to go on one. Please go on one. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you, Heather. Councilor Fairley.
So I attended one of the main ones that were held, and it was under festivals. And the great thing that came out about that is that we're doing a lot right with our festivals and events. Lots of people were looking, you know, kind of interested in how we were doing it, because they've had events that haven't been as great. So lots of conversation around that. That was a really, it was packed, and a lot of municipalities are taking over these events themselves or partnering with private citizens to do it. So everybody seemed interested in how to have a successful event, so that was really good. The study tours were really valuable, as Heather said, because you actually got to see what was happening. So one of the first ones I went to was the new Quebec Library, and there's over 200 libraries in Quebec City alone. So this is their latest one, and they're already in the process of starting another one. So their whole philosophy is, what partners can we bring in, helping make it better, helping make it the community hub. The newest one they have includes a kitchen, and so they'll be able to work with so many different organizations they can now. So their models of efficiency, really, the woman that talked was just brilliant, and we have her name just to continue the conversation. Creating those community hubs, that's what it's all about. The older libraries are kind of fading away, and you know, as we do in our current libraries, this is not a place to go anymore where it's quiet. It's about having activities happening all the time, because that's the way of the future. So it was very, very amazing, and the pictures were beautiful. Public art was another one that was of interest to me. And they had a tour about how they use public art throughout the city and what it meant to the city, and how they were encouraging people to get involved, how the city was getting involved and bringing people in. So, and everywhere you went, you saw people enjoying the public art, taking photographs of public art, everything. And this could be It's simple. One of the simplest things we saw were huge plant pots, which were flowered in, and people were lined up to have their pictures taken around those. So it doesn't have to always be a statue or whatever. It can just be something that we may take for granted, but visitors coming in. So it was really, really interesting. So one of the things that, again, as Heather said, one of the threads going through is environment and climate change. Every conversation led back to that, and it really stressed the importance of how we should be thinking in every decision we make should include the environment. So, and that was across the board. Every person that talked with was all about the environment. So I think we can, you know, we have little ways to improve on that. As Heather said, all the leaders were there, and they were very interested to hear them, all four of them. Were, you know, we're everything there. Everybody was there. So, and one of the quotes, and I was trying to remember it, but it, and I think you were there for that one, and they said that if the federal government shut down, people would notice in, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. Provincial government, if it shut down, they'd notice in, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. Municipal government shut down, they would notice the next morning, because that's how important municipal government is. And that was another thread that was throughout. And I think people are actually getting that, that municipal government is on the ground, talking to people, and we're the ones with, you know, not only the answers, but some of the solutions. So I think that's kind of, people are getting that. The one thing that I was really impressed about, and when we go to the spring and fall conferences, we tend to see the same type of people, which is, you know, older, retired people. At FCM, because you're bringing in so many people across Canada, you were seeing young people, you were seeing many, many women, you were seeing people of different diversities, people of different cultures, all represented on the municipal council. And it was really a breath of fresh air to see that it's not only for us retired or semi-retired people, it's for everybody. It's and people are concerned about their communities and they're stepping up. So, you know, you had mayors from every spectrum, the youngest mayor and old. It was just really encouraging to see that. So the other thing, I think this is such an important conference that there should always be someone there representing. And I felt, once I got there, I felt really sad that we had missed it for so many years, because the connections and the people that you can talk to and how you can educate yourself and just, you know, I got tons of stuff to give to different people in the building from these trade shows. So I think it's really important. There's always someone represented there. And I know we have it that everyone should attend once, but I think we should revise the policy so that if no one's interested, other people can go, because that is one of the most important conferences that we can attend. So, that's my report.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on the reports? Councilor Chris?
I give you high praise and wrote you to excellent information back to us. I see where it really is fitting for us to have representation from Queens to go there. There's things you brought back that I totally understand and totally see that we need further to have that counselor's go as much as possible. Great. Thank you very much for the presentations.
Councilor Fine?
Deputy Mayor Kelly, when you said that one of the recommendations or requests was expanding money for airports, was that major airports, or that includes small airports like Greenfield? Is there any definition of that?
I took it to be that it was for infrastructure for, like, not municipal airports, but
major.
Yeah. they could still be municipal. You
yeah.
see, that's another thing too. I mean, we call it a municipal airport, but it's not technically in use as a municipal airport. Where I believe that, like say in a place like Quebec City, you know, there's a lots of what they would consider municipal airports.
Yeah.
So sometimes it is sort of understanding, like even what it means on our level to be so rural and what it means on other levels. But yeah, it was expansion of airports. So
maybe we should look into that to see if there's anything there.
All and
qualified.
To let everyone know too, like all this information is available on the SCM website as well as the SCM app that they had during the conference. Was extremely good. All the presenters, everything's on there, and a lot of if you drill down into it, it will talk to you about and all of these were sent out to the resolutions were sent out to all members of FCM, which we are Nova Scotia is and Region of Queens were part of that as well. For anybody that was was attending and. The other thing, the app. So you can go. You can still go into it now. Sign up for the app, and it will still have all of the information in there that was presented at all of these workshops and seminars.
So what happens with those is they have these resolutions, and then they're carried forward to the federal government departments. That
these are all resolutions. Like we could have put forth a resolution. And they're all voted on. They're all vetted and voted on, and these are the ones that the committee, the board would have narrowed down to these seven.
And
that's what comes forward. The same as NSFM does it as well. This is what comes forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to say also that there's so much going on. I mean, there was two of us there, and we never stopped the whole time,
yeah.
and we still missed some crucial ones that. That I would have liked to see, and you just couldn't possibly fit it all in. Like it was just, So it's quite an agenda, but certainly every part of it was well presented, and it's really good.
Councilor Dancy.
The one thing, of course, we all pick up on different aspects of things that more pertain to where we are and what we're doing. I like what you said when we were talking about the homelessness. And that's one of the big things that I know in Halifax is talking, they said about the homelessness. And it seems to be resonating even through the whole, even the federal end, is the homelessness. Homelessness doesn't always mean the person who's sitting on the side of the street who is trying to get some money to try to survive. Homelessness could mean somebody living in somebody else's home because they don't have a place to stay or things like that. So I think there's a big push to try to have everybody have a home or have a place to be. I think that's something we need to look into to see how we can be able to approach that because it's a big issue because people don't have enough money to be able to live by themselves or they're separated or any other reason why they have to stay in somebody else's home that we need to be able to look at so we can be able to do that.
Any other counsel? Question or comment? Well, thank you very much, both of you, for the report and the questions that follow. Interesting conference.